Well, hello, this is Charles Weaver, your host of the MSP Zone, and today we are going to be talking a little bit of law, not legal issue case studies per se, but we're going to be talking about, is it time to tear up your managed services agreement, your master services agreement specifically? And we're going to be joined in a few short moments by a noted expert in the field of, among other things, managed services law. He practices quite extensively globally, but certainly all over the United States, and I think also in Canada. A lot of our members at the MSP Alliance know him, have heard him speak for sometimes 15 or more years, if you've come to MSP World. And he supports many managed service provider organizations with a variety of legal work, primarily helping MSPs get their master services agreements, service attachments properly updated and reflective of current trends in the managed services space. And I'm talking about none other than Rob Scott, who is the co-founder, but now principal partner of Scott & Scott LLP out of Dallas, Texas. Rob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Charlie. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and I know you had you'd started the firm with your brother, so I co-founder was not inappropriate, was it?
No, that's correct. You're one of a handful of my friends and colleagues that had an opportunity to get to know my brother and former partner Jonathan, and so I'm very proud of having worked with him, and very proud of the fact that our firm still reflects his name. He's now of counsel to the firm and on to other practices, but doing well and still a very important part of my life.
Well, let's dive right in. And I know it's a very provocative title because it's not exactly what you are advocating, but the question of, is it time to tear up your managed services master service agreement, really is getting to the heart of the question of, is it time right now in almost mid 2020, where we are in need of a major rethinking of how we as MSPs handle the contracts that reflect the relationships with our customers? So maybe at a high level, why don't you start off by giving us your perspective of what are the trends moving afoot right now related to MSAs?
Well, I think the biggest trend now with, the onset of, multiple regulatory frameworks that are requiring MSPs to not shorten and simplify their customer contracting stacks, but in fact, make them more complex and longer, that we're at a point now in mid-2020 where it's really time to be thinking about what aspects of the customer contract platform really belong as part of an online terms and conditions, and what pieces of the arrangement still require either a physical signature or an electronic signature. And I think that's really the biggest change that we're seeing today is, traditionally master agreements and even managed services attachments, I had advocated to my clients to make sure that those were, physically signed and executed, duly executed like traditional contracts. And now I think the trend is to move as much as possible to signing an agreement that contains the essential commercial terms that change from customer to customer. But when it comes to the terms and conditions related to the contracts across the board, to move those more to an online approach.
So just to be clear, and you've been a huge advocate of this inside the professional managed services community for many years. I mean, I think 10 years would be safe to say at least. But for those who don't know, and those who are not currently clients of Scott & Scott, your advocacy is and position of MSPs is have a big master service agreement, right? The boilerplate terms and conditions that really don't change. And then you have a more nimble, more agile a managed services or service attachment. Is that still the case and still your position?
Yes, but it's evolved a little bit, whereas historically the master was the agreement to be signed and all the attachments were to be, functioned as an amendment or an addition to. Sort of the transition now to online, in order to get that master online, we're working now with an order or a quote or a proposal as being the signed document. Because what we learned is many MSPs use a quote or an order form to set forth what the services are going to be and what the pricing is going to be. And so we wanted to simplify the contracting process in a way that fits with what MSPs already do. And so what if we could create an approach where once the quote or proposal was signed, the contracting process was concluded? And in order to accomplish that, we had to make the order reference the master, and then all the attachments go with the master. So it's consistent with what we have done historically, but in order to get the master online, we're now using the quote or proposal to be the signed document. And then everything else is incorporated by reference into the signed document and present it to the customer via online terms and conditions.
So we're really talking about two fundamental changes in managed services law and practice, which, and we'll get to this one next, which is the MSA going online. That's a big shift, and not a lot of MSPs do it, but we do have some big cloud vendors that I think you might be able to reference as examples. But what you just said, the quote or the proposal actually becoming the service attachment, that's what you are talking about, correct?
Yeah, essentially, in order to streamline the contracting process, in order to not have to do custom service descriptions in each, for example, attachment, what if you could create a structure where the things that were specific to each customer in terms of service descriptions or specific services that would be included or excluded now go in the quote or the order. And now the service attachment for managed services calls to the quote to include the description of services. And then the rest of the managed services attachment, for example, is just consistent across all customers. And so now with this approach, your sales team configures the quote or the order, and all of the contracting is done seamlessly without a lot of editing, without the need to negotiate, without the need to have a bunch of people, going into documents and changing them. And so what we're trying to do is drive the entire contracting process through what goes in the order or proposal that gets signed by the client. And through this streamlined contracting process, everything flows through to the agreements in a way that is seamless and doesn't require editing or substantial editing of any of the documents other than the quote or the proposal.
So that brings us to the kind of the title or the seminal discussion point for this this interview. Really is the traditional MSA, that master service agreement, which is a fairly stable fixture of the managed services organization. MSPs have been signing MSAs for their vendors. I'm talking like the Microsofts, the Googles, the Amazons, and they've mostly been online for some years now. You're now saying that the MSPs are ready to do the same thing with their clients and actually put those, again, the MSA being a document that really doesn't change that much. It's your terms and conditions. It's the boilerplate. And you think that now MSPs should be putting those up online. Anything that they need to know about doing that functionally?
Yes. I mean, there's a number of risks associated with it. And as you know, I was the proponent for many years of getting MSPs to get their customers to sign the MSAs and even the important attachments. But I do think now there's sufficient case law and sufficient examples in the marketplace where the MSA can be placed up online. This doesn't mean that the MSA can be just edited willy-nilly. I still think that when you present an MSA to a customer, that customer is fixed for that deal. And, you know, you need to be thinking about the amendment process. But the other thing that is critically important is that you need to make sure that just by putting it up online doesn't mean that it's contractually binding to the customer. There are very specific provisions that we need to include in that order or quote that allow, in the eyes of the law, to incorporate the terms and conditions of that master, albeit online, into the contract with the customer, which is being executed at the order or quote slash proposal level. And so it's not just as simple as throwing your master online. There are very specific steps that need to be followed here to execute this strategy of streamlining the contracting process and moving the master services agreement and all of the attachments to online. It's mechanically, you know, there's some important things to do legally, and you can get in a lot of trouble if you attempt to do so and you don't do it correctly, because you could wind up in a situation where a judge would say that those terms and conditions didn't form a valid contract with your customer, and that the only contract that exists is what's in the order or the quote.
So to summarize, it sounds like the service attachment has to be modified in order to make the online MSA binding, right? It's not just putting the MSA online. It is the service agreement has to be modified. And I'm assuming this is some state-to-state fluctuation as well to make these really binding and streamlined as a process you've described.
That's correct. And I think if you think about it, you know, everyone would understand that there's a contract on the terms that exist that the customer signed. Now we're talking about the enforcement of all of the other agreements, the master, the service attachment for managed services, the cloud attachment, the backup and disaster recovery attachment, the managed security services attachment. How do we ensure that all of those terms and conditions are validly binding on the customer when the customer hasn't signed them? And while there is fluctuations from state to state, which would need to be reviewed and emulated, the key factor with the concept of incorporation by reference is that if the agreement that is signed, in this case the order or proposal, clearly indicates the party's intent to incorporate the other agreements by reference into the signed agreement, then those agreements have been validly entered into as if they were being signed simultaneously with the order or proposal. And while there are some, you know, nuances in language and so forth on how to accomplish that from state to state, the principal legal concept about incorporation by reference and how it's accomplished is going to be the same pretty much across the board.
So Rob, I can start to see how this would be a fairly significant shift, not just in the way the contracts are written, but in the way that managed services themselves are sold. And let's assume that the MSPs listening out there are interested. Could you maybe walk through maybe a couple of your, I'm assuming you might have already done this for some MSPs, but could you walk us through what the benefits could be for an average MSP taking your advice and putting the MSA online, modifying their service attachment? What should they see as an outcome of this?
Well, I think there's just the general benefit of having a review done of the agreements that you've been using. You know, many MSPs have got, you know, sort of homemade, cobbled together agreements that may not have been reviewed by someone with expertise in the industry. And I think that's a sort of core benefit that you get by, you know, engaging a lawyer for a review. And that certainly would happen. And what MSPs would find is that, you know, over the many years that we've been handling managed services, we've developed an array of contractual provisions that are designed to address the most typical types of situations that MSPs get into, whether it's, you know, being blamed for, you know, third-party software violations or being asked to remediate ransomware attacks for free or getting to the end of the term and being asked to provide transition services even though the client is refusing to pay termination fees. All of these very specific protections are going to be in our stack. And so, you know, that's a benefit that would apply whether someone wanted to move to an online approach or not. But speaking specifically to the online approach, I think what you get is a much quicker process from the time that the client says, I'm interested, I'm agreeing to your proposal. There isn't going to be a lot of that gap between proposal and execution. In other words, if this is executed correctly, as soon as the client signs your proposal, the contracting process is completed. And then you go right from that to invoicing. So there's a velocity of cash flow that I think you'd see a benefit in, because you go straight from proposal to invoice, to getting started and getting going. So not only are you going to get that first check quicker, you're also going to start to see that, you know, deals won't lag. You know, you know, if your average time to go from proposal to signed contract is 30 days, well, this is going to be an extra 30 days of RMR because that lag is not going to be there. In addition, you know, there are deals that may die between proposal and contract signing. The hope would be less of those deals with a trip, and that the conversion rate of fallout in the contracting process would be much lower, and MSPs would enjoy a higher conversion rate, close rate, et cetera. The other aspect of this is that all of the customer agreements are going to be similar now. And the parts that change, even custom amendments, are going to be contained in the client's order or quote, so that if you need to go figure out if there's anything specific about this particular contract, you're not going to have to go pull up 40 pages and 8 different agreements to understand what is going on with this client. You're just going to need to go right to the order. In that order, anything that was negotiated will be identified in a special provision section. And so you'll know, just look at the order, you'll know the business terms, and you'll know any special terms that were negotiated. Otherwise, this client is on the standard set of paper for the version that was in place at the time that they signed. I think those would be the principal benefits that they would realize.
So it sounds like there's, if you're a managed services sales executive out there, you're listening and you're thinking, yeah, I want this now, right? Because you're wanting to close deals, you're wanting to strike while the iron's hot, and this is exactly the type of tactic that will, you know, previously, right, legal gets involved and everyone says, all right, you know, slow down, you know, things are going to, you know, crawl for a while, and this is really doing the opposite, as I see it. It's accelerating that period to closing. Let me ask you, Rob, a quick question about inclusion of other types of disclosures through the master service agreement. You're aware of, you know, California Consumer Protection Act, GDPR. All 50 states have data breach notification requirements. There's a variety of regulatory, direct and indirect regulatory pressure on MSPs that may implicate everything from third-party disclosures to that they're compliant with certain types of legislative or standards out there. Do you see this online MSA as playing a role in being a vehicle for making those types of disclosures?
Absolutely. So as part of our intake process, we identify which of the regulatory frameworks the MSP is subject to. So, you know, for example, you know, we may have an MSP that is subject to GDPR and is a processor under GDPR, has clients in New York and therefore is subject to New York Shield, has clients in California and is subject to CCPA, has healthcare clients and requires a business associates agreement, and also does some work in financial services and requires a GLBA attachment. Part of our contract stack will include the data processing agreements, terms and conditions, and other related regulatory documents that are required. And all of that gets delivered through this same online approach as the master. So if you think about this order or quote that's driving this contracting, one-step contracting approach, you know, for a client, it will say, you know, the following agreements are incorporated by reference: master services agreement, managed services attachment, cloud services agreement, backup and disaster recovery agreement, managed security services agreement. And then it will go into the data processing terms. It could be, you know, if it's a financial client, it'll include the GLBA attachment. If it's a business associate agreement, that will be attached. And so it's modular in terms of what you schedule there on the exhibit. And we have, as part of our stack of agreements for managed services clients, every one of the regulations that you mentioned. And to answer your question, all of the regulatory compliance attachments are part of what we deliver, and it's part of what can be implemented with this one-step online terms and conditions approach.
So, not a trick question, but are there any MSPs that would not be suited for making this kind of MSA online transition?
I would say that if you're an MSP that's struggling financially, you're a startup with very few customers, you're, you know, not looking necessarily to grow, you don't have, you're not taking on new clients, I think all of those would be factors to consider. I will say that this is not an inexpensive thing to do. So if you're strapped for cash, you're not selling a lot, you're not looking to grow, then this would be an unwise investment. However, if you're a mature managed services firm with a robust sales organization where you're doing, you know, one or more contracts a month, where you've got a sales team that you want to empower with, you know, state-of-the-art, you know, solutions and contracts, you've got an ownership team that wants to be protected with the best terms and conditions in the marketplace, then I would say this is going to be a great fit for you. The only people I don't think it would be a fit for is that struggling, non-growing, you know, strapped for cash startup that really probably has bigger priorities than, you know, launching a comprehensive new platform for customer contracts.
And you're probably including by reference, not explicitly, but a lot of primarily break fix driven shops that are, this just wouldn't be suitable to them, right? They're not selling that type of service vehicle that would be well suited to this type of online terms and conditions with a nimble service agreement.
Yeah. And the only exception to that would be, as you know, Charlie, many break fix shops, even shops that are in ancillary services to tech, whether it's VoIP or copier businesses, are very interested in entering managed services. And I think for those businesses, if they're substantial, this could be a great way to get started with managed services and get off to, you know, a really positive, you know, footing for those types of businesses that maybe break fix, maybe VoIP, maybe copiers, maybe security, maybe cabling, but now are looking to really enter managed services in a meaningful way and want to get started with, you know, the state of the art approach. I think it would fit for them, but you're right. If your business is break fix and that's where you want to stay, these agreements would not be a good fit for your business.
Well, we're at the end of our allotted time, Rob. I wanted to appreciate and thank you for joining us on the podcast. A quick point of reference, people are interested in talking to you, interested in engaging Scott & Scott to have their MSAs or service agreements updated, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
So the best way to get in touch with me is online via email at rjscott@scottandscottllp.com. We could be reached by telephone at 214-999-0080. On social media, we're at Scott & Scott LLP on Facebook, at Scott & Scott LLP on Twitter. And we look forward to hearing from anybody that has further questions about the topics that we discussed today.
Well, Rob, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. I hope all of you enjoyed that. Definitely give Rob a call. His team really knows a lot about this topic, and they've done some great work for our members in the past. So until next time, appreciate you joining the MSP Zone. We'll see you on the next podcast.